Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Back on FaceTime, I believe.
There
What's
he is.
Going on in the Ferraro household?
Yeah, I had enough people complaining at me to not hold the phone, so I've got it propped up on a box. This probably will fall over at some point. So,
between you and Pooley, it's shocking the show is on the air, quite frankly.
Yeah. Oh, Pooley and I could end this quick, I think.
Ray, I'll tell you what, though. The number of wires running across in front of me right now, you know, I have like five different computers right now and phones all in front of me and different. This one does this. This one does that. The DeGero is here. The Skype is here. The reported app is over here. You got it all going on. There's wires. There's lights. It's amazing that we're on air. It's unbelievable to leave that up to us.
What's amazing is that it actually happens. Like, we have our IT guys, I feel really bad for them. Almost every time I hook into something, I screw it up. And they're like, you know, basically turn it on, move over to there, click here. I'm so bad.
But I don't think like that. I just don't think like that. I can't visualize that. I need it. You know, for someone to talk to me over the phone and tell me what to do, it's like, you say just do this. I don't even know what this is. I don't know what the word is.
Well, look at our techie right there. Brian Hayes, the techie, adjusting his camera on the fly while you two guys are like, yeah, what do we do here? What's going on? Like,
you know what happened, Noodles, was I haven't had my phone plugged in. It just popped up. You have 20% battery left. So here I am being a hero.
Well, chargers alone. Exactly. You got to charge all this stuff because it's all drawn power.
I just put it in. I had to charge up the phone. I don't know why I forgot to do that before the show started.
Do you remember that happened to O about week one where O just went dead and he was trying, like he was texting on the internal text, like, what the hell's going on? And they were doing troubleshooting and all of that. And I think it was like Megan or Nick Caroli was like, is your phone charging every day? And like, oh, hadn't plugged his phone in.
Yeah,
he hadn't
charged
it once.
Yeah. It survived for 3 days and then died, and then it was everyone else's fault. And then it was like, why didn't you charge your phone? Like, what are you doing, man?
Then it took, 3 weeks to get it plugged in again. Funny.
Yeah, exactly. After that, he was using a flip phone with, like, grainy video for about 3 weeks. But it wouldn't even surprise me if this has been, like, a big Truman Show, like, troll job. We actually haven't been broadcasting for 2 months. They're just making us feel like we're doing it and we're important. Like, because I don't know. Maybe we are. Maybe we're not. I'm not watching or listening live. For all I know, it's just, you know, TSN are like, give them something to do. Let them pretend they're actually broadcasting.
These dummies will never figure it out anyway.
Yeah, they won't know. They're not going to. No one's going to stop them on the street and say, hey, why aren't you on the air anymore? It's actually this would be the perfect time for them to troll us. We haven't been on the air once for 2 months, and none of us would know any better.
Don't worry, exactly. Nobody's listening anyway.
Exactly. So in the last segment, Ray, we all went around the table listing, you know, a three-pack of either people or teams or GMs, coaches, players, whatever, fan bases who have the right to be most disappointed with the 24-team playoff format. And we all listed different options, whether it's Boston because they were clearly going to win the President's Trophy, whether it's Edmonton because they actually have more points than Dallas, but Dallas gets past them and into the top four because of points percentage. I said Jack Eichel because he's 13th. 12 teams get in, they're 13th. He still hasn't tasted, you know, meaningful hockey into the postseason. Is there one for you? You know, maybe beyond the obvious that you think, that you can make a case that they should be pretty rattled with this format and with this final decision that was concluded.
Well, I would say, as you were talking about Brian, I was thinking of Boston first. I mean, they should be the one seed. I mean, there's nobody within a stone's throw of them points-wise, right? Like, they should be the one seed. The other team I thought of is Pittsburgh because they are so far ahead of Montreal, yet they run into the one team that maybe could be a problem for them. If Carey Price plays two clunkers and three Carey Price games, they could be in trouble, even though Pittsburgh's clearly a better team. I favor them by quite some margin. But I'd be a little disappointed with that as well.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh should be included,
and you
make that case. I mean, they're another one. You give them another game or two, they could have caught Philly and been into the top four. It's not like Pittsburgh's incapable of running off two or three straight wins, but they're also a team that they were so comfortably in. Forget Montreal. They were into the playoffs. Like them and Edmonton are very, very similar situations. I think, you know, because I don't know if we've heard enough from teams that are like, we're really happy about this. Like Chicago should be. Montreal should be. I think Arizona. I think there's a few teams that were on the outside looking in. But it feels to me like there's more people that are kind of – they're not saying it publicly because they don't want to complain considering the circumstances. But they're like, I don't know about this. Like, we felt pretty good about our situation. Do we have to do this?
Yeah, but it's easy to say they felt good about their situation. I had never – in my 13 years, I never, ever liked a first-round matchup that I had. Not one.
Right.
Every single one I thought was the worst matchup in the history of the NHL.
It's scary.
It was just a battle, you know. We were going to play the Hartford Whalers in the first round. We had 30 more points, and we were terrified. And it was like a terrible matchup. And, you know,
you shouldn't have won that series. And you shouldn't have won that series.
No, we shouldn't have won that series without Ray Bourque playing. You're right about that, but we did.
It was a terrible... Pooley, it was a terrible time for our goalie to put a blindfold on. It was just brutal.
Who was in that? Sidorkiewicz?
Yeah.
It was.
They're playing the series without Ray Bourque, and we're ahead. I want to say in game six, we're ahead 5-2 in the third.
Game four. Game four.
And you scored a cheesy, smelly, stinky goal. And we lost.
Most of mine were.
I hate it. That was the series. We had the series, and then we didn't have the series. And so
you would have been up three games to one.
Yes, and we get back into game seven, and there's some rumors that Bork's going to play, but maybe not. And he's the last guy that comes out of the locker room into warm up, and that old barn just exploded. We're like, we're dead.
Yeah, that's he was a good player.
Such a great move, though. That's like a wrestling move. Like, just hold him back and let him come out last. Even better, though,
Brian, you came out the end of the Boston Garden, so you had to skate through the other team's warm-up to get to your warm-up.
So they
had closed the doors, and then they opened them again, and then he came barreling out.
No way.
Right through their warm-up. Oh, it was great.
And, of course, we're pretending that we're not watching. You know, we're just skating around doing our warm-up, and we're like, the door closed. He's not here. Oh.
There he is. What a strut that would have been for 77, just cruising right through your warm-up.
And he played great.
That's that gift, that Ultimate Warrior running up the
ramp.
Up the ramp.
That's exactly right.
Just comes bombing out like... I love
it. You know what else I remember about that game? And this maybe could tie into Nick Robertson a little bit. You guys signed John Bice out of the University of Wisconsin. He scored in game seven. That was his first game. What the hell was he doing playing anyway?
Because he was cheap. Everyone just signed a guy that was cheap on an entry-level contract.
Well, that's
No idea what he was doing playing. No idea. But he scored a big goal.
But he scored. He scored, I think, to make it 1-0. And so we talked yesterday about, you know, could you see a scenario where Robertson gets in the lineup? Like, yeah, sure. Like, that kid's good.
Yeah, and it'll have to be one of the top six guys that were to get dinged or something. It would have to be a role that fits him perfectly to go in. I mean, he's not going to go in on the fourth line. You know, and play any sort of role.
But Pooley, why couldn't that happen?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it could. No, it could.
The way Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas operate, I don't know if they have a fourth line. Like, they finally established one with Clifford in terms of, like, a conventional fourth line kind of tougher guy. But I think if Sheldon Keefe feels like you can play and give you 10 minutes, I don't think you need to block shots for him to say, okay, you're in the lineup. I think he'll play. I think if he's one of the top 12 guys, they'll put him in.
Yeah, I could see it happening.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like that's kind of a part of the conversation today. Like, the league and the Players Association are still trying to figure out entry-level guys being able to play, right? And who's the kid out of Montreal that they love?
Romanov.
Romanov, right? And everyone wants him playing. There's another thing in Pittsburgh. That's all you need. some kid shows up that knows how to play. And
from,
the KHL.
It sounds like he's a stud, too.
Yeah.
Ray, do you know anything about him or Pooley?
Yeah, I've seen him two World Junior tournaments, so I guess I've watched him 15 games. This kid's a player. He's not really big, but he's aggressive. He plays forward. He's a good skater. He can move the puck. He's competitive, like super emotional and competitive. I think he's a lock top four guy. Now, of course, he's 20 years old, but my God, he's better than what they have in their lineup. He would be an addition for him. I don't think these guys should be eligible to play, though. They wouldn't normally be. So why would they be now?
I'm with you. I don't get if this is still the 2019-2020 season, which,
right.
Yeah, the regular season's over, but if we're talking about, you know, this is the Stanley Cup that is awarded based on what we've done since September, why would you make drastic changes to your rule book outside of what you have to do for the pandemic? Like, that's different. Mm-hmm. Expanding your roster or whatever is a different situation. But finding loopholes or adjusting loopholes doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't. I was thinking crazy the other day. I don't know why. Just trying to, you know, think outside the box. And I went a little too far as I was like, you look at the teams that aren't playing anymore and there's pending unrestricted free agents on those teams. Could you imagine if there was some form of like, hey, you know, you could sign some of these guys who were available? It would just be, I'm of the belief, and Hayes, you put it in my head maybe a month and a half ago. This is such an outlier. There are so many things that are ass backwards, we'll call it, that potentially going to be with this tournament. Let's get crazy. Like, if you've got a guy, like, for the Leafs, if you sign that Lettinen kid, well, he's not a kid, he's 25, 26?
26, yeah.
Make him available. He's under contract. Make him. You've got 50 guys that the Leafs put your best 20 on the ice. Let's see what you got. Like, I know it's not going to happen. I know there are rules and CBA and all that. But I just when you've got an opportunity to just be so unique with a tournament like this, I would just like to see a couple more layers of it because we're never going to see it again. I hope.
No.
I guess.
Well, we're
Jamie. When I played junior, when I played tier two here. There was a rule in the playoffs that if your goalie got hurt, you could pick up a goalie from another team, right?
Mike Vernon did that, I believe, in the Western League years ago, Ray. I don't know if you remember. He went from like Calgary to Portland or something.
But it was crazy. So we knock out a team, and they've got a great goalie, and we knock them out. And we get to the second round, and they've paid their goalie to be hurt and go to Florida or something, and we play the same guy in the second round, and we beat him again. So we go to the third round, and we're like, no way. And sure enough, the same goalie shows up for the third round and finally beats us.
Just
and the other two, the other goalies are off in Florida or somewhere, got paid to go away. And so that was the rule. You could pick up a goalie if your goalie got hurt. We saw the same guy three series in a row.
Yeah.
Noodles, I was playing in Portland, and our goalie had a hamstring problem. And Mike Vernon became our goalie, and we won the Memorial Cup. It was really, really a good break for us.
Yeah, not a bad loophole, I would say, when you're on the right side of it, for sure. Hey, listen, I'm all for craziness. I guess the integrity of the league and them trying to keep everything somewhat. Like, you're already going in a bit of a wild direction because of what's happening, but – you know, I mentioned this before, and someone sent me a note today saying now's the perfect time to test out my idea of having the top seeds pick their opponent. And I know it's not going to happen because the teams wouldn't want it because they'd be like, they're not. Then you're picking on teams, or it's like
that
the players
nightmare written all over it.
But how great would it be though for the viewer though, Pooley? Do you know how amazing that would be if the Bruins are like, we'll take the Leafs, like we want them. We'll take them. And if the Leafs finally beat them in that scenario, forget just naturally coming across them, you know, via the path of the playoffs. They picked you. They think they own you, and you overcome that. How great that would be for theater and a TV event and just the content and smack talk.
Okay, Brian, I'm going to disagree with you that, you know, like, you can't turn this into a carnival. I know it's different, and as Jamie said, hopefully we'll never see this again.
Right.
You can't turn it into a free-for-all.
Oh, I'd do it every year, though, Ray. I'd do it. Forget COVID. If I was a commissioner, every single year, the top seeds, you go down. Starting at the one seed, you get to pick your opponent. You get to pick who you're playing. Now, you have to qualify for the playoffs. But I think how would that not be anything but amazing theater and incredible? And it's off the ice. It's not. It doesn't change how the game is played.
So would you have
What would you have standings? Why would you have standings?
Well, I guess to determine who's going to get the pick. So, in other words, if you're talking, let's say the eight teams in the East, Boston's first, they get first pick. They have to take another team 2 through 8. So, but maybe they say, you know, we went 4-0 against Tampa. We'll take Tampa. We'll take them. You know, we'll take that on. And then the two seed is whoever it is. Maybe it is Tampa. They're
Washington,
like, all right, we'll take Philly.
Tampa, yeah.
We'll take this. Whatever. I think it'd be incredible theater. And it's like you're so confident, you win the right to pick who you're going to play in the first round. And eventually you're going to get to a spot where there's two teams left. But
why would that team have to take on all the risk and all the heat? Like, why would they have to do it?
Well, maybe they take the 8th seed anyway.
That's not right.
Okay, so you prefer not to have the right to pick?
No, I think it's ridiculous.
Come on.
It's almost as ridiculous as the fans should be the general manager thing that you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I want at the draft. I think rounds 3 through 7 should be picked by the fans.
You got to go find Enes Kanter and be his manager.
I love him.
WWE.
That's my guy.
You
got to
go be his manager.
It's like a Royal Rumble.
Windmill dunk.
Yeah. Who's coming out next? Who do the Bruins pick? Wow, they select the Leafs. How great would that be? Incredible theater.
It would be great theater, almost like the, you know, like the draft lottery. You could build it up like that. But you know what? I was like I said, I prefaced my comments by saying I was just being crazy sitting on the couch.
I'm not referencing anything. I truly believe this would be the greatest idea in sports history. And if there was a commissioner that had any creativity, he'd implement this. I think it'd be amazing. If you had a draft, you had a playoff bracket lottery. Essentially, or draft, it would be amazing to see who Boston would take. And I hear what you're saying, Ray. They'd have all the pressure, but they'd also get the pick of the litter. You know, if you don't want the pressure, take the 8th place team. There you go. But maybe you're like, you know what? Go ahead.
Yeah, as you say, but what if you're only just a few points ahead? It's not like you're so confident. You're like, I got to pick somebody.
You got
it. Pooley said at the start here, he hated every one of his 13-year first round series.
Right.
Like, you don't really want to. I'd like to pick Detroit.
Yeah, but they're exactly. They're not available.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Well, then you pick for me. You know, like, it would be. I don't know. I don't.
Ray, but not if you play for Montreal. Wasn't Detroit 0-4 against Montreal?
They
4-0 against Montreal?
I did three of the games. Yeah. I did three of those games. They were great.
Yeah. Like, so it is.
Great against Montreal.
But it comes back to that Carolina going, we're going to vote no because we don't want to face the Rangers. Like, they were 0-4 against the Rangers. Is that correct in that matchup?
I think you're right.
They were 0-4, and the big thing about me with Carolina and the Rangers is they went ahead and said it. That's why they didn't like the format.
Yeah.
Right.
now you've teed the Rangers up to go, well, we know who doesn't want to play us. This is great.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Well, next time we have Bettman on, I'll make sure to bring this up. And
I think it'll fly.
Well,
Brian,
you know what, Brian? Yeah. I wish you would have told me this yesterday. We had the commissioner on the Ray and Drake's podcast this morning. I would have loved to have asked him that question so he could have just laughed at me right away.
Well, and then you would have said, actually, it was someone wrote it in. Some idiot from Toronto wrote that question in.
Yeah, some Brian from Toronto says.
Yes.
Yeah. Ryan Hayes.
Ryan. Exactly. What else did he have to say? Does he seem like is he kind of dodging stuff? Like, how's he feeling about everything right now?
No, you know what, guys? Like, we always see Gary standing in front of a podium and everybody's trying, has to get the questions in. Everyone's looking for the hardest hitting question all the time because you only get so much access. He was calm and conversational. I thought he was outstanding. And he reiterated a couple of times that, look, these are just plans, right? Like, you can't just say camp starting. Like, we have to have all these plans in order to even get to the starting line. to paraphrase what he was talking about, that
right.
so many things still have to go right before we can get to the next phase. But I was really impressed with it. Like it was a really informative interview with him. He was both 20 minutes, and I thought he was great.
Very cool. All right, you can find that at the Ray and Dregs podcast, wherever you download podcasts, tsn.ca. I'm sure there's video of it all over the website as well, and audio all over the
yep.
website. All right, buddy. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
And I'll try and have this thing figured out. Look, the camera didn't move once. I yeah. think I'm getting it.
You know what's funny, good. Ray, is you were starting to lose connection there, and I'm like, this will be the first time in history FaceTime goes down.
Gets flushed.
You'll be able to see me waving you off. I'm like, yeah. that's enough. Get rid of them. Put them on hold or put them on pause.
That's so good.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Have a good one, guys. Boy.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. And the showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide safe environments for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online, mapletoyota.com. Yeah, that was getting a little bit dicey there at the end.
It was near the end.
So
it's
the
fine,
Ray and Dregs broadcast now, like, they get people calling them. The commissioner must have called them and said, I want to be a guest on the Ray and Dregs broadcast.
Absolutely.
Like that's how,
yeah.
You know,
oh, they're,
it's not
they're
like they don't call you anymore. You call them and try and get on the Ray and Dregs broadcast.
Yep. Yeah, they don't mess around. But awesome. I'm telling you, man, I'm you guys may think I'm joking around. The picking your partner or picking your matchup,
opponent?
I think would be the coolest idea and the most creative idea, and it would change the whole landscape of the playoffs, and it would be amazing. It'd be amazing theater. Tell me you wouldn't love that. Like, okay, what's going to happen here? Who are they taking? Who are
right.
they taking here in the two spot? These two, this matchup is off the board. Boston took Columbus.
Okay.
Who's Tampa taking? Are they going to take Toronto? Will they go Carolina?
All right, let me turn it around on you. I know we have to go. When you come back, you tell me the answer who the Leafs would have chosen if they had a pick to go into the playoffs.
Ooh, I like it. Okay. Anyone in the top eight in the East?
Well, yeah, like if they're, you know.
Carolina.
Like, yeah, as it was a setting. Like as a top eight, yes.
Carolina. With David
right
Ayers
away.
In net. There's a caveat. David Ayers has to play the whole series. They would have got one on him eventually. I know it.
Yeah. All right.